go to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, here's your host, AME's Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry.
Good morning to our listeners. This is AME Chief of Staff, Ryan McGarry, filling in for President Dan Levler. With us today is Frank Lizardo, Business Manager at IATSE Local 1. Frank, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for having me on the show. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you. It's good to see you. Good to see you in person. And just want to give our listeners some background on who IATSE is, what it is your members do, who you represent, and the work they provide.
Great, great. Well, Local 1 is the oldest stagecraft union in the country. We are part of the IATSE, which makes up over 350 other locals, over 150,000 members. Our membership is approximately 3,700. We have over 1,000 members and retirees living here on Long Island. What we do, all the production that's done in your Broadway theaters, in your arenas, and I'll list many of them. And what I mean, what's done there, the construction, the application of all the equipment, whether it be lighting, sound, audio, video, scenic elements, prop elements, special effects. That's what our members handle. We build it, construct it, operate it, and then when the shows load out, we take it all apart again and load it out and load the next show in. Some of the venues that we're talking about, you know, as I mentioned, Broadway theaters, all the Broadway theaters are involved in that. Several arenas, one of them out here, UBS Arena, Jones Beach, the Coliseum, Madison Square Garden Arena. We handle all the concerts that come in and out of those venues. We also have the Metropolitan Opera, have members at the Metropolitan Opera, as well as all of Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, Radio City. So we handle all live entertainment. But in addition to that, we also have members that are representing at CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox, among other stations that we have members working at. So we are handling those elements that I mentioned earlier, the lighting, the video, and the audio, in all of those venues. Our members are dealing with that. So we're producing a product for, you know, audiences to come enjoy. Sometimes the hours aren't great for our members because we're working when everyone else is out enjoying themselves and seeing a show or a concert. But that's what we do. That's what Local One does. As I said, we've been around since 1886.
Wow.
So it's been quite a long time. Just also a little history. We've grown a lot over the years, and one of the major growth initiatives was in 2015. I think it was completed in 16. Out on Nassau and Suffolk was Local 340, which I know you had worked with and were aware of.
Of course, yeah. Bill Cassidy and I, mutual friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was a merger back then because there was a lot of synergy between the two unions, the two locals, and a lot of overlap where people that lived and worked on Long Island also commuted into the city and worked. And it's been a great merger. It's been great for the union. It's been great for the members. And, you know, we're very excited about, you know, the prospects of Long Island, of what we could do out here in the entertainment world, because more and more entertainment is originating out here, which is great. It's an economic driver. When entertainment, whether it be a movie or whether it be a primetime production or a TV show or a concert, it just thrives. The restaurants benefit from it. The hotels benefit from it. The bars benefit from it. Everybody benefits from it.
Absolutely. And you mentioned it, and I know we're going to be talking a little bit about the overlap between AME and your organization, IATSE, later in the show. But what you just said just points out another way our unions are working together in ways we might not even think. And that is, we represent members in the county whose job it is to try and make it easier and more attractive for these production companies to come in and make Long Island their home, make Suffolk County their home for their next shoot, their next project, creating those jobs, bringing in more revenue for the region, helping our local businesses, helping our government on and really capitalizing on that synergy. But just to recap what your members do, that tremendous amount of work, it's amazing because to me, if your members are doing their jobs well, which of course they are, they're union workers, highly skilled, what they do often goes unnoticed, right? People show up, they see the stars, they don't notice everything that goes into the show that they're seeing, whether it be on TV or at a concert venue that you mentioned or on Broadway. They're enamored with the actors, they're enamored with the performance, the script. They're not really seeing all the things that make it perfect, the lights, the sound, and as you even said, the props and everything that's on the stage that day. So it's a lot of incredible work.
To your point, I have a pin that says IA, the union behind entertainment, and for those purposes, we're always behind the scenes.
Absolutely essential work, yeah.
But at the end of every movie or production, you see the symbol that I wear on my lapel. At the end of every movie that's produced and television show, you'll see that bug come up.
Absolutely. It doesn't get done without you. Yeah.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that.
No, absolutely. Really, and I'm interested, Frank, in just your personal journey, your personal background. Obviously, you're a business manager for the organization now, high responsibility. What attracted you to the entertainment industry, the field in the first place? And then for this purpose, more importantly, what attracted you to really getting involved in the union and climbing the ranks?
Sure. Well, at the time I was going to college, Baruch College in Manhattan. I lived in the city where I was originally born. And I was working during my college time, picking up calls whenever I could in theaters, working around in television studios, whatever was available. And it was just part-time work at the time. Graduated with a finance degree, worked for a short time down Wall Street. And production is infectious. And the thing I will say most is, once it gets in your blood, that atmosphere where it's really a collaborative effort, you get a lot of things done. You feel like there's a great degree of accomplishment with every project that you, whether it be especially in live television or live theater, you're part of something special that you're delivering to this audience. I was not the sit at the desk type, so I continued and moved back into what I was doing part-time during college and started working full-time. And I worked throughout the industry in theaters, arenas, television. I gravitated towards television because it had a better, more friendly schedule, especially by then I was living out here on Long Island with my wife, who's originally from Long Island. I wound up starting to get more involved in committees because I wanted to make a difference. So I was appointed to the Benefits Committee and the Budget Committee. And I wanted to get the knowledge of this union that's supplying me with all these great things. I want to be able to give back to it. And like all of us in life, at certain times in your life, you have more time and availability to give back. And at others, you have less. So right. In the beginning, it was a slow start. But I was appointed to several negotiating committees. And I enjoyed that because you're directly impacting the contract that you're working under. All of our contracts, we have not only the business manager negotiating them, but a representative from that company, multiple representatives, but representatives from each individual area, so that everybody is represented. At the end of the day, when the contract is solved, everybody's on board with it and everybody understands the ramifications of it, what was agreed to, what wasn't agreed to. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the negotiating part. I enjoyed making a difference. I enjoyed fighting for more money to help people have better medical or better retirement so they can retire with dignity and benefits that we have. You know, we talk a lot about cradle to the grave organizations, and it's an old expression, but when you're born, we take care of you. As you go out throughout your life and get married, have children, and move on, we take care of you. And when you pass, unfortunately, we take care of you and your family that's left behind. And that's exactly what it's all about. It's one family.
No, and that's the labor movement, right?
That's the labor movement as a whole. And I was drawn to that. And so in 2013, I had my first unsuccessful run for office,
okay,
which you always learn the most from your unsuccessful runs. Then in 2016, I was successfully elected to trustee. In 2019, chairman of trustees, for good or bad, because that was during the COVID
time frame. Yeah, I know we're going to touch on that. Yeah.
Which we're going to touch on. And then in 2022, business manager.
No, congratulations on a great journey. And without a doubt, you kind of touched on it. It's It's about service and representation, being there for your members, working to make sure that their labor is being appreciated, they're compensated and protected fairly. Do you ever miss it, though? Do you ever miss the work of being on set?
Yes. Production sometimes, you know, because I am still visiting many of the places that I worked prior. And I do miss it sometimes, that excitement.
That thrill.
You know, my last job was on CBS Sports for the NFL Today. So, you know, we were doing all the Sunday productions, all the NFL stuff, all the college games on Saturday and Super Bowls. Like, for instance, this year I would probably be potentially be traveling to Super Bowl.
But this year instead, you're staying in New York working for your members.
Right, yeah. And which I don't mind. And, you know, the union is not just about taking care of the members at the workplace. It's about also the rest of their life, too, at home. That's just as important as their rights and the terms and conditions that they need, because that leads to a better life at home.
It absolutely does. And it's funny you mentioned the Super Bowl and potentially would have been going, because this is the year, as a New York Jets fan, every year is the year. This is the year. They're going to Vegas this year. But to our listeners this morning, my name is Ryan McGarry, Chief of Staff for AME, filling in for our President Dan Leveler. Honored to be joined by Frank Lizardo, Business Manager of IATSE Local 1. And Frank, we just went over a little bit of background on who IATSE is, who your members are, and who you are. I really want to touch on what brought our organizations together, and that is our annual May Day Music Festival. Obviously, such a large undertaking. We've had headlining artists that are, you know, internationally known, very proud of what we're doing, trying to organize a pro-labor, union-friendly event to bring families together, the community together, let them learn a little bit more about the labor movement, what it means to be a union member. We're not necessarily that stereotype that you see on TV. And at the same time, hopefully raise some money for charity. It's a wholly nonprofit event. We're very proud to have organized it and gotten it off the ground in 2019, but we couldn't have done it without our brothers and sisters in labor, and that is you, as well as your brothers and sisters in Teamsters 817. Just wondering, you know, what did the creation of what we're trying to do with May Day mean for you and your organization in terms of bringing a very pro-union music festival to Suffolk County?
Oh, it's wonderful to be part of it, and we're honored to be part of it. Whenever you could do something that's pro-labor as well as charitable and helps out others, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's about family, and that's exactly what your event is about. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event. We love being part of it. 817 is another partner with us on many, many events, as you well know, but this one especially. And when you could be part of something bigger than yourself, and any opportunity we have to unite the labor organizations together in a, you know, it's better to be in a friendly event like that,
right,
than a strike, where that's a lot of times where we are brought together is in a bad situation, where that's a friendly, entertaining, does well for the community, does well for the charities, and does well for labor. And we really, really enjoy it. And we look forward to growing it and just keep going. And again, it's just having another festival out here that the people that live here could go and bring their children, and our members could go and bring their children and enjoy it and learn about labor as well. Because as you said, there are some misconceptions over time. And I think that's changing a lot.
Oh, it absolutely is.
We're seeing the biggest increase. I mean, you just have to look on the news and see not only WGA, which we could touch on, and the actors, but also UPS, pilots. It's across Starbucks. It's across every industry. And individuals are realizing that the labor movement is a good place to be, because you have strength in numbers. And whether it just be one organization, but then there's even greater strength that's created coming together with events like the May Day event, or the work that the Long Island Fed does in bringing 250,000 union members together. That is so important.
Yeah.
Whenever you can seize an opportunity to bring everyone together, it's an unbelievable.
No, absolutely. And the Federation of Labor, the AFL-CIO, under such great leadership here in Suffolk County, we couldn't have done that event without them and their affiliates. They all pool in and help sponsor the event, bring us all together, and really celebrate that buzzword of of the labor movement that often gets thrown around without meaning, but to us it means everything. That's solidarity. And I know you touched upon some of those labor disputes that I know we're going to talk about, especially the Writers Guild as well as the Screen Actors jumping in. But on that spirit of solidarity and working together, working in collaboration with other unions, we mentioned 817. So just if you wouldn't mind sharing some examples of how Local One and Teamsters 817 work together, how their work is different, but how they're hand in hand. And then, you know, just let us know what your perspectives are on that working relationship.
Sure. Now, 817 and Local One, as you said, work hand in hand. And that's the best way to describe it, because what 817 does, they are the truckers that pick up and deliver the scenic elements, the lighting elements, all the equipment that I spoke about earlier. They deliver it to the site. At that point in time, they are the truckers that push it off the truck to us. So when you say hand in hand, our hands are all touching hands,
right?
And touching the same
literally
piece. Literally. So we take it, we assist in taking it off the tail end of their truck. We build it if it's a concert or if it's a, you know, for instance, the festival, whatever comes in, truss work, lighting, sound, video. We build it on the stage. The event is performed. Take it all down, and the process is reversed. The Teamsters come, 817 comes, and we load it back onto their trucks. And again, we're hand in hand loading all the same equipment, but we interact on pretty much every aspect of our entertainment industry, whether it be concerts, whether it be in television, whether it be in theater. We are literally hand in hand, and we work together as sister unions, and it's a incredible relationship. As I said earlier, I was talking to some of the leadership the other day, and we were just talking about, you know, how we've been united over the time, over the tough times. Unfortunately, now with COVID, and now they're suffering greatly with the strike.
Yeah.
So it is a great relationship. That's essentially, I think I answered where their duties stop and ours
yours
start.
Begin, yeah.
And but, you know, as I said, it's hand in hand, and we're all touching the same.
No, we love it, and we love having our members join that partnership as a triad when we do organize the May Day Music Festival, in that here our AME members, our public sector workers, are playing a part in helping make that event a success, whether it be when we had it at the park, our parks workers making sure the park is ready, and even now that we're at Bald Hill, we still have our men and women who are working in fire rescue emergency services, and our civilians in the police and law enforcement, mm-hmm. Making sure that the venue is safe, the surrounding area is safe, and all these organizations coming together. And you touched on it earlier too. It's something we're so excited about. I mean, I dedicated my life to the labor movement back in 2005, actually earlier 2001, when I went to Cornell's labor relations program, graduated in 05. And at that time, public sentiment toward the labor unions was at an all-time low. And you hit the nail on the head. Right now, we're enjoying a renaissance of the labor movement. We're seeing successful organizing drives in Starbucks. We're seeing public support for these labor disputes. And I know that's a big reason why we wanted to get you on the show. Your industry was so heavily impacted by COVID, and I want you to give us some insights as to how COVID impacted that. But now, just when things were looking like the sun was on the horizon and we were finally out of that darkness of COVID, returning to normal, you're also now dealing with the rippling impacts of the writer's strike. Obviously, you know, with the writers being out of work, not creating content, that impacts the work that your members do. It impacts the work 817 does. So I know it's a two-part question, but if you wouldn't mind just talking briefly about COVID, because I think we're all a little COVIDed out, but it impacted your industry so meaningfully. If you wouldn't mind just giving some insight there and then leading into how this writer strike is impacting your members.
Absolutely. COVID decimated us. We were the first out to stop work and the last back,
right?
Essentially. It impacted us organizationally and individually. We were essentially 85% shut down. The 15% that was still operational, like television news, things that had to be on the air, were still at reduced levels. So it was traumatic as I said, to our members as well as our organization. Many of our funds were decimated because there was no money coming into the individuals, no money coming to the union. But at the same time, we still had to provide medical coverage and things like that to our members so they could sustain during this, the worst time in our history, essentially. It's going to take years for some of our funds to recover. And by years, I mean could be 10 years on some of them and could be shorter on others. We've made a lot of changes during that time to sustain, to make sure that we preserve the benefits that were there as best as possible so that we could be in a recovery stage, which we are now, and we're heading in the right direction. As far as coming out of it, we, you know, going into it was a quick shutdown. Coming out was a slow roll progress.
Especially for the live entertainment. Live
entertainment was the last thing that came on board. That was the last of it. And even when it came on board, I would say it didn't fully return a lot of it till 2022, halfway through 2022 and into 2023.
Right. So only a year ago.
Yeah. Because it was a slow roll, and we still had shutdowns, and we still had shows that all of a sudden there was an outbreak. So it was very, very difficult. We had people that were working the whole time as well, as I said in news, that were, you know, wearing masks for 3 years, essentially,
wow.
From the start to the finish. So it was a very, very challenging time, and, you know, we're glad it's behind us. But as you said, the current strike points to that it can happen again. Things can happen, whether it be a strike or whether it be a pandemic. And we're better for it because we learned from it. But at the same time, everyone is still in recovery. And the strike is hurting, you know, the IA, as well as many, many other unions. Obviously, WGA and actors. But the numbers, when you start calculating how many people it impacts, you could just go on and on and on. We're hopeful that it gets resolved. But at the same time, we have many, many individuals out there in the IA, in 817, as you pointed out, that are struggling right now. And they have no income coming in. And it's very, very difficult. What's different from COVID is that there is no aid coming into them from the government and from subsidies and
big
things
difference.
Like that. So it is a big difference. The one thing I will point out is, since we're talking about how unions work together, one of our sister locals, Local 52, during pandemic, they started returning to work prior to a lot of Local 1's live performances. They were assisting us in whatever they could do to place some of our members so that they could pay their bills and just get a paycheck every week. And they helped us along those lines during that time. And they were wonderful with us. And we were grateful for it. Now, fast forward to now, we're impacted by it, but not as heavily as Local 52 is, as far as the number of members that are out of work. We're trying to reciprocate wherever we can with the work that we have available and the upcoming work that we will have to facilitate some of their members getting work and just paying the bills. And it may not be paying into the local that they belong to, but at this point, we just want to make sure they pay their rent or their mortgage. Or their college
bills. Keeping food on their table.
That's what it's all about. So, you know, it's great that we have the opportunity to reciprocate for a wonderful thing they did. And, you know.
No, and again, that's what the labor movement, again, is all about. And that's what I'm so encouraged to see, that misconception being brought into light and being really understood, that really labor is just ordinary working people coming together, taking care of each other. And to see the two organizations making sure that they're taking care of one another and each other's members just speaks volumes to that buzzword, again, solidarity. Again, for our listeners, my name is Ryan McGarry, AME Chief of Staff, filling in for President Dan Leveler. With us today is Frank Lizardo from IOTC Local 1, Business Manager. We are just getting into the meat of the interview here, talking about the writer's strike. And Frank, I know you're not with the WGA, you're with IOTC, as we've been talking about, but you know, I think you have to have been living under a rock not to know that there's a writer's strike going on and the Screen Actors have jumped in. But not everybody fully understands what the issue is. You mind giving some perspective, some background on how the strike culminated?
Well, I could speak in general terms because we're talking about the labor union and what the labor movement stands behind and what the WGA stands behind. It's about compensation. It's about benefits, and it's about future viability. And in their case, future viability are the topics of staffing and streaming and the potential impact of AI.
Right.
For every industry, we'll have a different future viability issue. You know, whether it be technical developments in equipment. So every union, every organization, that's your ultimate goal. And it's to take care of the working class people. These are people that are going to work every day to do their jobs, and they're just trying to make ends meet, as we spoke earlier about benefits and about having medical coverage. Everybody knows what the issue is with the cost of medical these days. And the labor organizations are struggling with it. Everyone's struggling with it. But you want to see that these individuals get paid enough, have enough benefits, have an ability to retire, and have a job and an ability to make money in the future to get to that retirement age.
Right.
And that's the biggest challenge. And whether it be the WGA, nobody wants to go on strike. But unfortunately, it's a necessary action when things break down. That has to happen.
Right. Nobody wants to go on strike. You don't get paid when you're on strike. I think non-union members sometimes don't understand that. You're giving up your paycheck in order to hold the line and protect your future and protect your American dream, your family's right to that American dream.
Absolutely. And that's where you see the unity. I mean, as you said, you don't have to, unless you live under a rock, you see it on the news every day, the solidarity of everybody behind Absolutely. These organizations. And that's because they realize this is not just about the WGA or the actors. This is about the labor movement as a whole.
Oh,
and,
absolutely
you know,
is.
We talked earlier about the Long Island Fed and bringing everybody together, because everybody realizes this isn't just about one organization. This is about all of us and all of our futures.
Yeah, it is. No, and as a student of the labor movement and labor history, you know, if you had said that the Writers Guild was going to be the tip of the spear on artificial intelligence and its impact on the greater labor movement, I don't know if I would have seen that coming, you know, 10, 15 years ago, as much as I would have thought jobs that could be put at risk due to automation or you know, you see autonomous vehicles and you start looking at the rippling impacts there. But here it's the creative field that's really, really taken the stand first, and we're going to be the population that suffered first. But it really is such a interesting dispute, because AI is going to impact everybody's job, union, non-union. And that's the one thing I think most folks aren't fully grasping just yet. You know, they might get frustrated that their movie they were looking forward to or next TV series, they can't watch on their streaming channel. But really, it's a precursor to a greater moment in labor history here as to how we are going to respond, how we're going to protect people's livelihoods. You know, I could see how our members could be put at risk with future AI developments, as I'm sure you could for your own.
Absolutely. You know, we see AI is everywhere. And as you said, it's going to impact every industry, not just the labor organizations. But every industry and every organization has to analyze how that threat is going to impact your organization. Mitigate that impact by, as you see in negotiations, that making sure, you know, you're covered. If there is a threat of AI, how you can benefit from it. When we saw technology enter in the last 100 years, it's always been a challenge, but you can't fight it. We've all learned that.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, last century was automation, and we found a way to get through that. And
you have to embrace it and learn from it and figure out how we could retool our individuals, how we could renegotiate our contracts. We encountered it years ago in television when streaming first came on board.
Of course.
Because that wasn't included in many, many of the contracts. Didn't say streaming because it didn't exist.
Right.
But it was negotiated and it was arbitrated and thankfully victoriously, because it was the same thing. It was a production. It wasn't about how it was put out. It was about how it was developed and how it was created. And that's all it came down to. So again, all the organizations are going to have to look at AI, and none of us are AI specialists. But like any other problem that you encounter, you bring in the experts, you bring in people within your organization that have the tools and could say how this can impact our organization. Right. Where can this take away? And how do we circumvent it? How do we welcome it? How do we train? We just recently opened up in our building in Manhattan a 4,000 square foot training center. And we started it before COVID and then stalled. And now after COVID, we opened. And that's because facing the challenges of technology, we want to have the most amount of people, which we do, that are ETCP certified for rigging in arenas and rigging in theaters. We want to have technicians in audio, in video, in lighting, so that when an employer comes to us, we have a whole battery of experts that we could say, here you go. How many do you need?
Right. So you're prepared for the jobs of
Absolutely.
Tomorrow. So it's organize, strategize, adapt, train, and be
Absolutely.
Ready.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, Frank, we're just about out of time, but I do want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for being a true believer and a true leader in the labor movement, thinking about these issues, standing in solidarity with your fellow brothers and sisters who are out on strike. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
Well,
anything we didn't get to touch on?
I just want to say thank you very much for having me today. I really enjoyed being on the show. Yes, I'm glad everybody got a little bit of knowledge about Local One and what we do. And we don't just represent the members of Local One. We want to represent everybody that's in entertainment throughout Long Island, New York City. We're here to bring up the standards for all.
That's it. And that's another, I don't want to get sidetracked when we're wrapping up, but that's another thing that I think some people don't understand about labor, right? If a unionized worker is under these job protections, making this level of compensation, it brings up the value of that labor for everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No, that's great. So again, my name is Ryan McGarry. Very honored to be filling in for President Dan Loeffler today. With us was Frank Lizardo, IATSE Local One Business Manager. And to our listeners, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.